believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, good morning. Sending for Bill is Ernest Hancock this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Bill. You know, we have a lot of things to talk about. You know, we've been involved in Second Amendment issues since forever. And sitting in studio with me is my good friend Eric Cartridge from the Cartridge Family Band.
Hey, Ernie. Thanks for having me.
Now, Eric, you know, we've both been activists since... I probably met you in the 90s, you know.
Late 90s.
You know, and we've been doing this long, and we got some street cred, you know, on the Second Amendment thing, and we have an opinion. And, you know, we'll give you just a little bit of our background real quick in this first short segment so that you kind of get an idea or perspective on this thing. And you guys keep hearing about the MIAC report and Southern Poverty Law Center and the list that they had, and if you got a Ron Paul bumper sticker or Chuck Baldwin or Barr, you know, that kind of thing. Well, they had one of those lists back in 94, and it was the same kind of thing. We're going to go get them militia, get the militia, get the militia, and they would list state by state, you know, starting with the A's down to the Z's, and the first A was Arizona, and that's safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. Got to watch out for those guys. Got to go get them. You know, and who's the name on top of that list? Ernest Hancock. Let me tell you how that happened. What we did here in Arizona in 94, we did an initiative that would allow for unrestricted concealed carry, no permit or anything, because that's what our state constitution says anyway. But, you know, they don't care about that. So what we did is we go, all right, we're going to be a unrestricted concealed carry state. Again, like we're supposed to be. We filed an initiative. You have a political action committee that you file in support of the initiative. That's how law works here. Well, what do we name it? You know, one of the guys came up with, you know, safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner?
Perfect.
Or an unsafe gun owner? Are you a safe legislator or an unsafe legislator? So we had safe legislators that would come out and speak for it. And one of the head guys that, you know, introduced the bill and the legislature for it later became Speaker of the House based on the popularity of that issue. Of course, they always, you know, you don't get to be Speaker of the House unless you're a bad guy. But anyway, so you can see how the Second Amendment's always a strong issue for people. Well, what happened was the Southern Poverty Law Center created this list along with the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, and they sent it out to every single sheriff and law enforcement across the nation. I get a call from Sheriff Arpaio, and he goes, hey, Ernie, you're on the list. I'm like, woohoo, made it. I'm on the top. You know, it's just invalidated. It's just pretend. I didn't, you know, let me tell you, this is one thing. My father, I grew up with guns. You know, my father had a lot of, you know, various kinds of guns. He was a quick draw artist and all kinds of stuff. So I'm just, you know, whenever I needed a firearm going camping or something or thought I need one for my safety, I just go borrow one of my dad's. You know, we did this initiative. I didn't even own a firearm. You know, I did. You know, these guys, we go to protest and everything. Finally, one guy gave me a 9x18 Makarov, you know, piece of crap, Russian Makarov here, just, you know, so I'd have something because they were embarrassed. Ernie, you're killing me, man. Take this. So and then, you know, because we were poor, I had a lot to do with it. But, you know, since then, I have acquired a couple. But the thing is that, you know, it's all political. And it's all about power, and it's about who has the power and who's afraid of you having the power. We know this. As time went on, we got into, you know, other things. Now, Eric, he's in a band that would play quite a bit, you know, and they would, you know, different events. And we had a recall on John McCain that was right before 9/11. And then 9/11 happened, and what? All of a sudden, that went away. Yes. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, there's a bunch of stuff went on to the 90s and going on now, the same thing for the same reasons. We'll talk about it here on Bill's show in just a little bit.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, welcome back to 2A Radio, Bill Carnes Show. Ernest Hancock setting in for Bill. Thanks, Bill. You know, the one thing that we want to do, I just want to get you an introduction. You know, we've been at this for a long time, and I'm telling you, in 1994, when the internet first started going, we had Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America at a workshop that we had similar to Freedom's Phoenix. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm publisher of Freedoms with an S, Freedom's Phoenix. .com, and we have Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, that starts at, about 2 hours from now. So we're going to have some fun there. We're going to be talking about the Constitution. Should we have it or not? You know, what caused all these problems? What mechanism did they use to take away all our rights? They had to have a piece of paper to do it. What was it they used?
The Constitution.
The Constitution! Is it an evil document or not? You know, we're going to have a discussion. It'll be interesting. Boy, you'll want to weigh in on that one. Let's go get it. You know, we're going to find out. You know, you're getting pieces of paper and authority and shiny badges, and, you know, it's amazing to think that they wouldn't, like, use them, you know. So we're going to see what happens. But the one thing that I wanted, you know, the Second Amendment, we're big, big. Eric and I, we've been on this for, we make a big deal out of this. And what happened when we did the concealed carry initiative, in the beginning, all of the gun stores and so on, oh, heck no, don't put that petition here. We don't have nothing. They were afraid of the BATF. They did not want to have any kind of repercussions on them as a business because they count on their being able, with permission from the government, to be able to sell firearms to the peoples. Well, we don't want to be able to, you know, have that curtailed.
Well, as long as the people fill out the omnipresent forms 4473.
Absolutely. Got to fill out the form. Got to get on the list. Now, the other thing that happened as we progressed through this, when they started going after the militias and so on in the 90s, a lot of people don't realize, you know, you have a much wider view from, a philosophical bent. You know, you kind of look, why? Why? What do they care? What we found out is that for the same reasons they're doing kind of here they come again, was they had to convince the Japanese and the Germans and the Pacific Rim countries and so on that when George Bush, Herbert Walker, when he did Read My Lips, No New Taxes, then declared taxes and the people rised up. They're starting to rise up. Okay, it's before the internet. You know, they started coming out going, hey, man, what the heck? Then all of these people stopped buying our debt, just like China's starting to pull now. They go, you know what? You guys had a revolution before. You kicked out the largest empire on the known planet at the time, you know, the British Empire. They're threatening to do it again. You know, so we're like, man, you better get your slaves in line. So they did. They started doing all kinds of, you know, the Brady Bill and the assault weapons ban and all this. All that was to give confidence that they could milk us more. They could keep raising taxes.
Well, it was mainly PR, too. As long as they could convince the buyers of the foreign debt, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just a psyop. Yeah. You know, because what happened? More people bought guns.
Right, right.
I did. That's when I bought my first one, right before the Brady Bill came out. I'm like, all right, now it's time for I'm going to, you know, pawn a TV or something. You know, man. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to buy me a firearm before I have to go through and get on the list. So you're on another list, but, you know, there's multiple layers of lists.
Well,
know?
You're on the Patriot list. Isn't that what?
Oh, yeah. We had Heidi Beirich, which she is the... You know, director of special projects on the Southern Poverty Law Center on the show. You know, yeah. She's nice enough. Woman came on. We got to talk about it and so on. And I was asking her about this old report in 94. I'm like, you know, what, you guys just pull stuff off the end? You just made it up. I mean, it's obvious what you did. Heck, you know, my local sheriff is calling like, what the heck? You know?
And you didn't even own a gun. How did you get on a list?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's not how this works.
The militia list, the guy without the gun.
So she goes, you know, there's hate groups and so on. And then there's like, she goes, well, you're on the list that you would like. And I'm like, what's that? She's not on the hate list. You're on the patriot list. And I'm like, there's a difference? There's a distinction? I don't think there was a distinction back then.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So it's just, you know, it's just information. You know, as people start to, everybody gets all worried about whatever list they're on. You know, you don't have to worry about whether you're on the list or not. Just discredit the list. You know, lists don't mean anything. You know, well, you know, it does when they, you know, got you on, you know, ABC News and they're doing whatever. But, you know, we get known well enough to, you know, it doesn't matter. So then we have... now the same kind of thing. And it's the same people. You know, they started amping up this rhetoric about they're going to go take the guns in Arizona because this guy, Kostrick, when Kostrick had a sidearm when he went to an Obama healthcare thing in New Hampshire, and he was from Scottsdale. So they made a big deal out of him. We're going, oh, I see where this is going. And it wasn't the same kind of people. It was the same people. Rahm Emanuel was, you know, chief of staff now for Obama, was a senior political advisor for Clinton from 93 to 98. So he was all behind all this stuff, okay? Then you had, you know, of course, the Clintons. You had, you know, Hillary's still in there, and Bill, you know, he's still in there. So you have, you know, Hillary there as Secretary of State. So she was obviously around. And then Janet Napolitano, which is now head of Homeland Security. I mean, goose-stepping around with the power now, got the power. Well, back then, in the late 90s, she was the prosecutor on the Viper Militia thing. It was all the rage here in Arizona.
Well, no, I thought they were called Team Viper. It was Janet and her people that started calling them the militia, right?
Right. The Team Viper came from, they were a shooting team. You know, they compete. And so they go, well, Viper Militia. They got, like, guns and bullets come out the end and stuff.
Did they have a compound?
No.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, and we knew something. One of the good friends of ours, Dean, you know, was a good friend of ours. And he got 5.5 years he did. So we created a thing called Viper Reserve. And what it was, we just documented all the stuff. We just go to the courts, you know, we'd keep all the papered records. If you Google or go on Freedoms Phoenix, you know, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, you go there and you look at, you just hit the search button and you put in Viper. Or you just do a Google on Viper Reserve, you know, boom, it'll explode all over the place. We tracked all this. There was a $5 million lawsuit against Janet Napolitano for the prosecution that they did. La, la, la. Even within a week, you had Ted Koppel on Nightline going, this isn't what they told us. They weren't even charged with all the stuff that they said they did. It was all manufactured, and we knew, and we know, that they're going to do it again. They have to. It's a distraction. China's not buying. We're not buying. You got these, you know, millions of people coming to Washington, D.C., and they're not armed this time. But, you know, I'm getting the impression you're not going to be able to keep milking them. I'm just wondering.
Actually, at some point, I don't think it's even about being armed as much as the fact that if millions of people wake up and go, you know what, it's not our debt and we're just not paying. I mean, even if they sit down like Gandhi and do nothing.
Oh, no, 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 no. They want you to fire on them. See, that's another thing. Oh, yeah.
Well,
you
know, we don't do that in the Lovelution.
Yeah, Lovelution. You know, protect yourself. You know, be ready to protect yourself. Be able to protect yourself. Because, you know, when, you know, you need to. There's no getting around that. That's just, you know, the way it is. But what they want to do is they want to know who are the people that would rise up, against the state. Okay? Well, who are those people? And we get, oh, I was just playing a voicemail, you know, a guy that's been, you know, calling a lot, you know, for Freedom's Phoenix. We are doing a lot of activities here against the mandatory vaccines, and we activists and out of our workshop here at Freedom's Phoenix, and we do a lot of stuff. And we're best known here probably nationally for the Ron Paul Revolution. That Revolution logo we designed came out of here. Once we did that, it exploded all over the place, and it was the message behind it. You know, of course we want a revolution. We want a love-olution.
A revolution of the mind.
Of the mind, between the ears, you know. We're going to put daisies in gun barrels, you know, and hopefully they won't get blown away out of them. But the thing is that if you're going to use violence, if you're going to, you know, rise up, you know, they got bigger guns. You know, that's not where the battle's fought and won. You know, the battle is in you declare your independence. It's real simple. And you don't even need a government form. You know, so now we're getting into, you know, the Second Amendment, though, is like a Vulcan mind meld with the state. You want to know what their intentions are. You find out what they're going to be doing with your ability to defend yourself against them. It's just that you can tell, you know, if you have a 130-pound woman and they're saying she can't protect herself against a 230-pound man, you know, on the seedy streets that they created, okay, you know, then they're a bad guy. I mean, it's just, you can just tell. It's how they see you as an individual. Who has the power? Well, the individual is supposed to have the power. The state's there to protect the individual, you know, so that they can have the power, at least to defend themselves. And then the only function government has is to defend against force and fraud. Well, who's the biggest force and fraud purveyor? I'm going, man, you guys are, man, you're way outside that envelope. We're going to talk about it on my show in an hour and a half. Yeah, it's going to be good. You want it right here on this, on RBN. So you pay attention to that. And we'll be talking about the Continental Congress of 09. You know, we had the voting here and so on. And a big advocate for that, wanted to discuss it. I went to Jekyll Island. I was one of the few that went to Jekyll Island, and we, you know, talked about it. And I, you know, had plenty to say about it. But my thing was, is if I don't have the option of voting none, then what kind of convention is it? I want, you know, if, whether you want no government or not this one or not this federal over the state thing or not, that's not the point. Do I get that option? If I don't have that option, then what kind of choice is it? You know, so that's going to be the discussion.
You mean you're not willing to subject yourself to the whims of the majority through a vote?
Yes, and
I'm so surprised
on top of that,
you, Ernie.
Thousands of miles away, and a federal kind of make everybody. And they go, oh, well, no, this is decided. No, this issue's already been decided, Ernie. It was called Grant versus Lee. After the Civil War, man, it's already been decided. You federalize. You're not a Georgian or Massachusettsan or whatever anymore. You're American.
Well, we thought it was decided after the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, it was states.
We were a bunch of states, right.
But. You know, United States with that little small U. You know, I hear a lot of people, especially in the Second Amendment community, they bring that up a lot. You know, they'll say, yeah, well, this is United. Until it comes, you start challenging certain things. Wait. No, we're big U there. But not here. You know, I'm just going, you know, it's a mind. You got to be consistent. You know, you got to be consistent. The Second Amendment thing, I'm telling you, it is a Vulcan mind meld with the state. It's how you can tell who the good guys are and the bad guys. Those who just want to be left alone and those that will not leave you alone. I'll leave it at that. Who are they? We'll talk about more when we come back here on 2A Radio and the Bill Karn Show. We'll be right back. Yeah, welcome back to 2A Radio. With Bill Karns, you know, and Bill Karns taking a day off and asked if, you know, I'd come in and say hello to everybody. Hello. You know, a lot of people probably know me from on Second Amendment issues. When Obama came to Phoenix and they had the black man with a gun, an AR-15, you know, Chris B., I was the guy that was interviewing him live on RBN. You know, we had, you know, they're going, you know, well, that was a stage thing. CNN's all freaking out. You planned that. And I'm going, no, it was live, you know, the RBN network got on Republic Broadcasting Network. Yeah, we make sure we got that out on CNN. But the thing is that, you know, they go, well, you know, it's staged if you didn't tell them.
Right. You mean they don't plan their interviews? These are all just random things that happen?
You know, they were so upset that they tried to, you know, well, we know that you and we have pictures of you on the internet with him before. And I go, yeah, we put them up. And, you know, our audience knew what was going on, was coming. Heck, the Phoenix Police Department knew. We had, you know, other media knew that was there. So, I mean, you know, it's not my fault you don't know what the heck you're doing. So if you just Google CNN Ernest Hancock, it'll come up and you'll get the idea of what we did and why. And the reason was, is I know that they're going to try and do the same thing they did in the mid-90s now, because it's a distraction and it's a, you know, an excuse for them to, you know, the threat of the man and all, they got to come get it. And I wanted to preempt it because the police knew, they went through this with us back. They knew they were being used. They knew it was all crap. They knew it was a PR stunt from the big boys. They know, but they don't do anything about it because it comes from the top down. And we got a, you know, anti-vaccination of the first responders thing going on here in Arizona. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com, you can read about it, and we'll have more stuff on it later. But the thing is that we are like, look, we need the government to defend us against this needle being put into our flesh. I claim property rights on my body. Can I do that? Can I get an amen for that one? And we want to defend the first responders. This is firemen, police, medical workers, and teachers. So we were just saying, look, you know, Well, I get a call yesterday from the city manager's office. We've been really pressing this. Press been calling them. And they basically said this. And we'll, I don't have the tape for you, but we'll have it in our show. They are like, well, we're going to defer to the state. Yeah. They'll be telling us, well, we're not requiring it. if it's Murgatroyd, we wouldn't require it. We're not going to offend our guys, you know, about to fire them. But, you know, so this is the game that they're playing. It is all amping up. And if it's that bad that they got to have Homeland Security mandating people do anything, I can't think of a better reason for people to have, you know, firearms. That'd be a good idea. What do you think, Eric?
The revolution's in your mind, Ernie.
You know, and I want to make sure that we emphasize that, because I'm like, where do you think it is? You know, the revolution is between the ears, you know, years, decades before you actually have the shot heard around the world. And there will be one. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, we're one day closer to freedom. You know, it just gets really messy first.
Or maybe not so messy. I mean, look at the Soviet Empire. I mean, the dollar's going the way of the ruble. The empire just couldn't afford to sustain itself and said, guess what, Czechoslovakia, you're free. Guess what, Poland, you're free. We can't afford this empire anymore. Nobody will pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have gas for the tanks.
Right, exactly. That's it, right. There's, you know, jet fuel's mighty expensive, and, you know, we have nothing to pay for it with. China won't loan us any more money. You're done.
Well, I wanted to talk about some of the stuff in the news. You know, Bloomberg was being, you know, ornery. You know, what was Bloomberg doing?
Yeah, I guess he's recently become a Fed or something. He's doing, even though he's the mayor of New York, he's been doing stings at gun shows in Nevada, Ohio, and Tennessee lately. He sends in private investigators.
Wait. Bloomberg from New York is sending in the other states?
Right. The mayor of New York is doing law enforcement.
Start over. Okay, what?
Well, that's what I said when I read about it. But
well,
yes.
How is he doing this?
Well, he hires, I guess, I don't know if the city of New York, I think the city of New York actually pays for it. It's not from Bloomberg's personal billions. But he hires private investigators, you know, they're not like city cops or anything, but private investigators to go to other states and pretend to be straw purchasers or prohibited possessors, go to their gun shows and see if they can buy guns, you know, after telling, you know, private sellers, you know, well, I don't know if I could pass a background check. Will you sell me the gun anyway? And, you know, that kind of thing. And then his private investigator secretly videotape stuff
And he has to go out of state and hire the man. He's really fishing.
Well, yeah. I mean, his claim is that, well, how did all these illegal guns get into our police state of New York? Well, it's because they have freedom elsewhere, and we've got to, you know, make these people look bad.
Wow. You know what this is building up to. I remember this. This is McCain's gun show loophole stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's the same exact thing. He's touting the gun show loophole.
Oh, tell us about, see how much time we got here. You know, we'll do it when we come back. We're about ready. We only got about a minute in this segment. But when we come back, you know, right before 9/11, there was a robust with offices, thousands of people doing it. We were going to recall John McCain on just these issues. And it was rocking and rolling and whatnot. And then 9/11, and we got to come together, you know, kind of thing. We're just like, oh, got this guy still? No, please.
Right. All the so-called conservatives chickened out.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing. 2004, as a Libertarian candidate, I ran against John McCain. You know, that was interesting. And here in Arizona, we actually, you know, get to go to debates and stuff. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence and tell you what's going on behind the scenes a little bit more. Let's start something. You know, here on 2A Radio, Bill Carnes Show. It's Ernest Hancock sitting in for Bill. And I have Eric Cartridge from the Cartridge Family Band. Tell me about the Cartridge Family Band. What do you guys do? I mean, they have a big gun event that just happened a couple of weeks ago in Tucson. Tell me about that event, how you participated in that.
Oh, that was fun. That was the AZCDL banquet. That's Arizona Citizens Defense League. They're a gun owner rights advocate group here in Arizona. They're fairly hardcore. You know, they were pushing good bills like constitutional carry, basically an end to this permit system for concealing your weapon. So, you know, they're pretty good guys. Their heart's in the right place, and they work hard down at the legislature.
But they work down at the legislature!
Well, they're volunteers.
I know. I'm glad you're there.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm not sure.
I know a lot of the guys, but
you question the ability of legislative solutions to...
Well, it's not that. It's that, you know, whenever you talk, how come they didn't do it? Well, you know, in the Republican Party, to get this passed, we had to kind of bend on this, and it's the politics and work. And I'm going, you know, once they start that, I just lose all interest, you know. I don't want to play.
Well, you know how it works. That's why.
You know exactly how it works.
And what the result's going to be. I guess, you know, one of my pet peeves.
Well, tell me about the event. Finish the event.
The event was fun. It was 350 people showed up, and tasteful open carry was appreciated, if not pretty much required.
So you had hundreds of guns.
Everybody was armed, and nobody was hurt.
Yeah, I know. See, they're all, Ernie, you got to go, man. You got to go. We got to, you know, everybody's, Ernie, you got to go. You got to go. There's going to be 350 people armed with in one place. It's just a grand. And I'm going, so? I go, you got your own banquet, your own contracted thing that you have with your own people, everybody carrying guns. That's not, you know, like a big deal to me. It's when you got the one guy carrying an AR-15, you know, at an Obama rally. That's when you got some nadules.
That's right. I mean, this thing was like, you know, if you had a party at your house for 100 libertarians and you had 75 of them carrying guns, what's the big deal? You know, ooh, we're going to carry our guns at Ernie's house. Wow, that takes guts. You know,
so yeah, that. And what'd you guys do?
We sang a bunch of songs. We have a bunch of gun rights, type of songs, and we did "Little Armed Lady from Pasadena," and
wore a Glock 17.
Yeah, we did that one. We did that one too. Yeah, so you know, it's fun. We're kind of the entertainment branch of the Second Amendment movement.
Well, you know, it's there's three of you, and go ahead and introduce each one. You know who you guys are.
There's Alan. 22 caliber short cartridge, otherwise known as Alan Corwin, the author of all the gun law books, the gun law expert guy. And we have our third member is Bob 50 BMG cartridge. he's our lead singer. So, yeah.
And what are you?
I'm Eric 44 Magnum cartridge.
Oh, 44 Magnum. There you go. Yeah, okay. Right. You know, and we've been having fun doing this activism because if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. If you can't enjoy yourself, you got the wrong attitude. I mean, you're just, you know, it's because they're always going to, you know, have the law enforcement guy, the enforcer, is going to come up and chest button kind of you will comply or die kind of. You got to pick your battles, you know. And I'll tell you when you don't fight your battle, when you're on the lone prairie, you want in the morning without somebody videotaping, that's when you don't do it. Yes, boss, which way you want me sprawling, you know? So I'm telling you from experience, we've been doing, and whenever we do have a problem, we always get the criminal defense services of Mark J. Victor.
That's right. And he appreciates it when we have videotape, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And he's like, you know, look, man, when you're on the lone prairie, that's not the time to be discussing constitutional law with these guys.
No.
You know, and make sure you got it videotaped. So this is, we understand Second Amendment rights, and more than that, we understand the reasoning behind them creating the Second Amendment. Why is it the second? Why wasn't it the first?
That's a good question.
It has to defend the first.
The second protects the first.
The first was like, you know, we're gonna do it with love. We're gonna have a love illusion next time we need to do this, and when we can't, oh yeah. You know, we defend that ability to, you know, say the emperor has no clothes with this right over here, number two. And you know, one thing, we had a German film crew came, I remember it was in 98. And they came and they wanted to, you know, talk to all the militia around the country, going to, you know, Michigan and Montana and Tennessee and everything. And because I was on the list, they wanted to talk to me. They spent 5 days here. You know, they went to church. We went to the gun range. We went to picnics and friends, whatever I was doing for that 5 days. And we were building our restaurant, you know, at the time and so on. So they I used to own a family pizza restaurant. Well, what happened was they just followed me around. Trying to, you know, but they never asked one question. At the end of it, after they get done taking all this video of us, you know, just being Americans and all that kind of stuff, at the end, finally, we knew they were, you know, covering for something. You know, they're just getting video. They'll turn it over to the NSA or something, whatever the heck they were going to do with it. And we go like this. We said, you never asked why. Oh, yeah, we're just going to get that. Get the camera out. We're going to go, yeah, nice try. You had your chance, you know. But the thing we knew is, you know, they never asked us why we did it. The question why never comes up because that's not what they're interested in. They don't care. They want to know who, when, how, where, everything but why. So I'm going,
well, that's because they just make up the why.
Yeah, no, we already know the why. We got it written down over here. So you have to be careful. I'm telling you. You know, I have this one. See, I was trying to get some recordings off my phone before we had technical problems. But what one of the things was, there's a gentleman that calls and he says, where are your militia meetings? You know, where are you having? You know, who is your group? I want to join a group. I'm part of the Tea Party thing, and I need to. And I, you know, I'm going, gee, I never heard these guys before, you know. So we're always at bring them on in. You know, we federal agents put weights in the attic or something. Here, go paint these signs. You know, we don't care. We're so open about it. We're just, you know, everything that we do, we put up on Freedom's Phoenix anyway.
And the signs are all over town. I mean, it's easy to know what we do here. You just look on the fence over there, and there's a no vaccine sign.
Yeah, we have ABC. Heck, we had Spanish, you know, Hispanic television here yesterday morning. You know, so we're just, and I know what they do. You know, you say, you know, blah, 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 and they dub over you. You know, Lord knows how they translate. I get some guys calling us, man, they said, did you say that? I don't think so. So the thing is that, you know, you're going to be infiltrated. And what is it that they're concerned about? I'll tell you, Southern Poverty Law Center. We'll get Heidi Byrick up back on the show because I've had her. I sent her off. You know, they were the ones that said, if you have a Chuck Baldwin bumper sticker, woo, we're going to get you. Ron Paul, they really got a lot of heat for that. Oh, and the girl that got the Missouri governors to pull that report, you know, Catherine Bach, or I think that's her name. She was at Jekyll Island, too, when I was there. She was arrested yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, because she was complaining they had some kind of court thing, you know, like, I don't know, traffic, whatever, that they had them this long line. They call them in, and they're out in the cold. They have to stand in line outside in this long line doing some court thing or something. And she was complaining and wouldn't shut up, so they arrested her. They let her out, but, you know, later, you got to keep her for a day. You know, yeah. I'm going, it's on front page of Freedom's Phoenix. But this is the girl. She's a young little redhead spitfire. It's just like, what? Are you serious? Because of a bumper sticker? You're pulling people over? Oh, and she got him to pull it, made a big deal out of it nationally. But, you know,
they had to give her mandatory 24 hours then.
Well, we get to 24 hours. Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to. So when these things happen to a lot of, you know, people in the movement, the revolutionaries, what happens? It hits Twitter. It goes up on Facebook. It gets up on the internet. Here's the phone number and whatever little, you know, police department, their phones don't stop ringing. You know, and they get faxes and emails and people start camping out front. I mean, it happens really fast. They're concerned. They want to instigate something. Whenever you have, like, the G20 thing, we had Sam Ataro come on from republicmedia.tv, and he goes, man, he goes, Ernie, and he's from Chicago. He goes, I'm from Chicago, man. I see some pretty bad stuff. He goes, I went down there. The police state is nigh. You know, I saw it. And you talk to these officers, who pays your salary? All you see is the badge of what state or something, you know, from Tennessee or something. And then they issue them all. They pull out the van and they got all the riot gear and they train them a little bit, do whatever. And they're just, we rule you.
Well, they had all this cool military stuff, too. Didn't they have, like, these sonic sound weapons?
You know, one thing that Sam said, he goes, LRAD, or they call it.
The infrared thing that microwaves your skin or something?
Yeah, they got a microwave emitter. I don't know if they didn't use that one, but they did the sonic one. And I go, well, he goes, yeah, I had to have my hands over my ears the whole time. You can't hardly stand it. And he goes, and I go,
what if you lived there?
Yeah, no, well, you know.
I mean,
so.
Yeah.
And I
collateral
go,
damage.
Does that work? And he goes, yeah. And I go, so I got to get the little, you know, shooting earplugs. I bring little spongies with me. I put them in my wallet. You know, all the teenagers got their prophylactic and their earplugs. I mean, in their wallet, I mean, you got to have protection, you know? So, I mean, you just add that to your activist kit. So they go, he goes, yeah, that would have worked fine against. I'm going, seriously, is that it? So what's the counter for the microwave thing? Yeah, get a little parabolic, you know, satellite dish and put it back at them?
You got me hanging. I'm pretty technologically challenged.
Well, I you know, this is coming. Why? Because they want you to comply. You got, and then what you find out is I asked them, there's always these the instigators, the provocateurs, the anarchist guys, the young ones that go up and, you know, doinking them and kicking whatever. And then you start seeing pictures of them getting their jackboot, you know, on their throat down on the ground. And the guy on the ground and the guy with a boot on his throat wearing the same boots.
Well, that was the one in Miami or Seattle or whatever, right?
They're all the same. Yeah. You know, they need to instigate something. They're trying to. They want to. You think they don't want riots. You know, let's start a riot, says the Homeland Security.
I guess it justifies the exorbitant budgets.
There is, we're in strange times, and there's two ways this thing can go. And this audience may be familiar with both of these books. There was one in 94. We got to see the original galley copies. I mean, this was coming. You know, John Ross was on my case because I didn't write him a blurb from SAFE. You know, Second Amendment is for everyone. You should read Unintended Consequences. Oh, yeah. And he was calling me, how come you didn't? I go, hey, man, all you had to do is ask. I would have endorsed the book. Heck, we were reading it before it was even printed. So we got the early copies of it, and then we bought them by the cases. And like I didn't, I go, man, we've been buying them by the cases. Why are you yelling at me? So I didn't understand. I was a young kid. I was in my 20s. I didn't know. You know, we got all this notoriety, and we didn't even know why. Thank you, Southern Poverty Law Center. So what happened was, in Unintended Consequences, they have the people rise up, okay? You know, individually, I got some bureaucrat, agent, you know, de la, take my rights, livelihood, family, whatever in front of me, and I'm dealing with this guy. You know, that's one way it can go. Then you have Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, which is kind of like, you know, all of this parasitic behavior, all of this dependency that we have on this government that's just draining us dry. This big giant parasite that's like become, you know, 10 times, 100 times bigger than the host, it can't keep feeding itself. And sooner or later, the productive people will just, you know, shrug it. You know, yeah. Atlas held up the world, just, you know, I'm done. I'm good.
I'm not holding you. Yeah, well, that's, you go Gandhi. You just refuse to participate, refuse to acknowledge, and just.
You're not allowed to not participate. You must join the Obamaist army of helping your neighbor or whatever.
The Obama youth.
Each according to their ability to each according to their, we got a gun, we want it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that only works for a little while. I mean, that's what happened to the Soviet Empire. You know, you can force people to work at the point of a gun only so long, and then it doesn't work anymore.
You know, the thing is with the Soviet Empire, the only debt that they had, I think, I didn't even know what their debt was to them, to who. I mean, maybe there's foreign loans. I think they paid a bunch of them back. That's right, they did. They got a big, giant loan from the West, and then within like 3 or 4 years, they paid it back.
I mean, recently?
No, back when they, in the 90s. I remember they made a big deal out of paying it back.
But the thing was driven by the collapse of the ruble, remember?
Yeah, but see, my point is that they didn't owe $70 trillion, you know?
No.
Or $700 trillion. You know, they didn't have this, you know, Lord knows. I mean, if they tell you our deficit, our debt is, you know, 10, 20, and you know it's 2, 3, 4, 10 billion times more than that.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. The United States is in a lot bigger trouble, you know, and we're just going to have to repudiate. And that's what the Chinese know. They're going, yeah, no, we're done.
Repudiate or inflate, it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's going to be, you know, that's one thing we have, our children are, you know, they're married, you know, we have 4 kids and 2 of them are married and having kids and so on. And now you get to be that grandpa thing. You look at things a little different. And I'm telling you, they're out trying to buy a home instead of rent. And I'm like, yeah, maybe it's better to rent.
Wait.
Yeah, it's going to keep going down. They go, yes, but. The prices are so low, they're enticing me. You got this $300,000 house they can get for $90,000, and the interest rate is low, and you got all these programs, and I want to get in. I go, yeah, in a year, it's going to be worth 40.
They're just young. They don't remember that, you know, houses used to cost 40.
You know, so that I'm, but then, you know, what will happen? Inflation will hit. You know, will that drive it up again?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, we have, you don't know. You know, so what do you know? I know I don't know. I can tell you that. So we're in an interesting time. What do we need firearms for? I tell you, the issue of the Second Amendment is all about the relationship that you have with your government. Because the government is there to protect your rights. And when they become the greatest violator of them, then what? You know, the founders knew this. The Constitution is a decade after the Declaration, 90 or more. They are sitting there going, we're going to collectivize. We're going to, you know, Adams and Hamilton, you know, Judge Napolitano from Fox Online came to Tucson this last Saturday, and we put the speech that he gave up on Freedom's Phoenix, and he told the story. He goes, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. He goes, let me tell you. He goes, we had the people on one side that were, you know, against it, and we had on the other side Hamilton and Adams that wanted to give all this power to a central government and everything. And he's telling you, educating the people on a story a lot of us know. Patrick Henry, as governor of Virginia, spent 4 hours in the legislature, don't ratify this Constitution. It's all about the power of eminent domain, the power to tax, the power to regulate commerce, the power of the, might as well call it Communist Manifesto. It was the anti-federalists. It was the libertarians of the day. It was those that said, oh, heck no. And what did we get from that?
The Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights. You know, the 10 thou shalt nots of government. They go, yeah, that's great. Yeah, fine, whatever. Put it in your whatever. Create the central government. Because they didn't care. You know, guess who gets to determine whether it's constitutional or not? Federal government.
Yeah.
You know?
And in time, they knew what would happen. The Hamiltonians would have their
way. Yeah, they wanted their central bank.
Yeah.
You know, as Andrew Jackson comes in and says, no, I know what you did, you little scum. And it's like, what? This Federal Reserve is, I think, our third reincarnation of the central bank.
It's the third. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and then that's about ready to go. So what are they going to do? We just go to the world, though. You're all worried about the, you know, the Amero. You know, suckers.
we're
skipping right over that one. We'll be right back here on 2A Radio, filling in for Bill Carnes is Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Uncle Sam's out here to shoot me a little too well. Well, Uncle Sam, you know, taught me to shoot a little too well. I mean, can you have too well? I mean, what's too well?
Absolutely not.
You know, I'm, you know, that's one thing. They have the apple seed things.
Yeah.
That's right. That's coming up this weekend. Isn't it this weekend? Yeah, we, you know, we need to put it back up on Freedom's Phoenix there. We have a lot of the readers here. We're going out to Buckeye, which is way west of Phoenix out there. They have a gun range that we they do these Appleseed things. I'm sure if you listen to this show, I'm sure he's probably talked about this.
It's Appleseed.org, I believe, or our Revolutionary War Veterans Association.org, RWVA.org.
And these guys have a training class for just become a rifleman. You know, this is how you shoot a rifle. We're going to need you to shoot a rifle. And what was it? Bill William Cooper. Cooper used to say, he goes, in a gunfight, you know, you bring a rifle. And he goes, oh, and you tell your friends to bring rifles, too. Rifles win.
A pistol is just a tool to fight your way to your rifle.
Yeah, you know, get rifles. And so, you know, I can understand that. When it gets down to it, it's, you know, I mean, dang. But if you have to get to that point, you've failed in so many other ways.
Yeah.
You know, this is all about a revolution between the ears. Because our thing has been, if you're not understanding what it is that you are fighting for or against, then what's the point? You know, you're just a tool, a puppet inside there. You're going to be manipulated. Somebody, and we get that. Oh, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you guys talked about it here. We would get this. Oh, it's about a month and a half, 2 months. Well, it was right after Henry Paulson addressed Congress. I mean, it was probably a couple of months ago. Henry Paulson gets up and does Congress, blah, 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 blah. Then he goes away. Then all of a sudden, you started getting these emails from the guerrilla resistance, you know, at, you know, the whatever revolutionary, oh, Sons of Liberty. That's what it was, Sons of Liberty. And get these emails. And I put it up on Freedom's Phoenix as a letter to the editor. And I go, look, man, I've been getting these all. The militia has taken out Henry Paulson. He's dead. And we killed him. Killed him. Got him. That's all. Rise up. Time to rise up. You know, and I'm going, you know, send us an email. Come to our webpage and we're going to, you know, rise up. Now's the time.
Well, that was just Janet Napolitano's version of send emails about health care scoff laws to Obama.gov or whatever.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was so
it was
obvious.
It was a way to expand the list.
Right. Yeah, right. Let's go get them, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, guerrillaresistance.com. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I so remember this from the 90s. It was exactly the same thing from exactly the same people. You need to understand this.
And that was a pretty lame hoax, too. I mean, somebody's, you know, shot Paulson or something. Really? Well, the lamestream media didn't tell us anything about it.
Yeah, the media that's so last century. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm just,
well, true,
you know,
true.
I'm just like, can I not care? I just don't care.
But yeah, I know. But get real. I mean, if that had really happened, I mean, they'd certainly publicize that,
yeah,
right?
Maybe I'm not going to count on them for that
come
either.
On. You know that storyline? Some evil terrorist, Scott Paulson. That would be the
well, you know, of he news. Instead of coming out and proving it wrong,
if
or him,
or
them showing him up, you know, somewhere, or all of a sudden he's gone. I mean, you didn't hear about him. You didn't see him anywhere.
He was just on vacation.
Yeah, let's do it here. Let's go ahead and go up here. Then I'll say, well, you guys can do it. You just look up, you know, Henry Paulson, news Google, see if he's showing his face somewhere. Oh, they're pushing the button. Hey, well, it was great spending time with you. I'm glad we got to introduce ourselves to you. And we'll let 2A Radio Bill Karn's going to take us out on this. But I'm hopefully you'll listen to our show an hour from now. You just stay tuned here to RBN. And you got Stephen Lindman. You know, well, Stephen Lindman, he's a writer for Freedom's Phoenix, too. And we publish all his stuff. And then there's us. Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And we'll talk to you then.
With recent international flight from the